You guys had an amazing week so far. It's always good. I've been out for about a week or so, had a baby, so it's really good to be back in the house with family. I love it. Got a few quick announcements today. Matthew and Sarah, they're doing a little traveling out of town today. This week, they're not here with us, so I want to bless them as well. But we do want to go over some quick announcements, and I think I may have them out of order. But Monday at noon, prayer is here in this building, so you can join us here at noon. Gather together, pray for the church, pray for Chapel Hill, pray and see what the Lord is really doing here in this area. Wednesday, Culture of Honor. Miss Janet, she's going to be doing the Culture of Honor book study here. Sorry, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. So we just went through an amazing book study with Mark Moulding, and now we have another one, the Culture of Honor. I feel like the Lord is really establishing some things in this church of the setting culture, you know, and it's going to be really powerful, really amazing. And so that's Wednesday at 7. If you are part of our youth or young adult, Faith Factory is going to be on the 19th this month. So Faith Factory, the 19th, that's Sundays, just right during the service, that's going to be here. We also have this coming up May 16th. We have worship at the Loaves House. That's every third Thursday of the month. And so that's going to be May 16th. What time is that going to be? 7 p.m. also. 7 is the magic number. So 7 p.m., feel free to come out and worship. There's no agenda, just Jesus, and we're just going to adore him during that time. And then Sunday, May 26th, Memorial Day cookout. Can we pop that up there? Yeah, so after church, right there, we're going to have a cookout right out here. We're going to enjoy some food, some fellowship, so please bring a covered dish, bring a dessert, bring a drink. So everybody chips in, everybody brings something, so nobody come empty-handed. We love you, but please bring something. All right? What do they say? When you come together, have a psalm, a spiritual song or something like that, well, we want you to bring a covered dish, too. So. All right. I think that is all of our announcements for today. And so I'm excited for Tracy to come up here and speak a special Mother's Day word from a mama in the house, not just to her own kids, but to a lot of other young adults in this generation. So definitely somebody special in my life come up here. She prays over us. Been praying for Chapel Hill for a long time as well, so, and she just carries a lot. Anybody that gets around her for a hot second, you really just know that she's just like dripping with the oil of grace. And so let's pray over her right now. So Father God, we thank you so much for Tracy, for everything that you have put in her heart. Please prepare the soil of our hearts to receive what you have for her. I pray that everything that you have given to her to speak would just bubble up from the depths of her innermost being, Lord, and give her the wisdom to communicate that, God, that it would just land powerfully and that it would exponentially multiply to do infinitely more than we ask, think, or even imagine. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Thank you, T.V.
Before you get home,
is somebody open oil during
worship? I don't know. Does somebody open any oil? Did anybody else smell what I smell? It was like somebody sometimes anointing oil.
So Evan can hear the oil. You can smell the oil.
I can smell the fragrance of like an anointing oil.
Fragrance
of
anointing. It was powerful. So powerful. You just don't know how much your worship was in alignment with my word. I love how God does that. The Holy Spirit just does that, you know, because we haven't talked. So you guys didn't know what I was going to be speaking on today. And yet, Eva just started singing it out at one point. I was like, okay, God, you're really good. Thank you so much. This is really neat how the Lord did this. A couple weeks ago, we went to see Kenneth's mother that had come in from Costa Rica in Atlanta. And we were on our way back. And God, I mean, we're in Cracker Barrel. You know how God just works the most practical ways. And we're just getting ready to have lunch. And this little thing stood out to me in the store. And if you know me, I'm not a shopper. So I hate to shop. My mother does it so much, I hate it. Anyway, I go in the store, and I usually get one thing, and I walk out. Okay, that's just me. So I was really, really drawn to this thing, and I couldn't figure out why. I was like, Lord, why am I drawn to this? You know, but as it went through the week, I realized I had to go back and get it, okay, because it had to do with today's message. And you'll see in a minute why. Anyway, okay. Put my glasses on now. The Lord has given me. In Psalms 112, I was reading on Monday morning, and this was Sunday that I actually saw this. And I thought, Lord, why was I drawn to the lighthouse? You know, and we've seen a lot of lighthouses me and Ben did when we were in Nantucket. And when you see the magnitude, you know, everybody knows of the ocean, and you see the waves, and, you know, sometimes we came in on a ferry late at night. And it was really scary because, you know, the ferry's going like this. And, you know, but I realized, you know, the powerfulness of a lighthouse at that moment when we were coming in about 8 o'clock one night. Because the waves were really crazy. It was storming, and, you know. And then I looked up, and all of a sudden there's that lighthouse all lit up, you know, in front of us. And I thought, oh, wow, you know. But to see it in full bloom was wonderful. But anyway, in Elizabeth Nixon's book on Inspired by the Psalms, this is the lady that we had at the women's retreat this year, and she's an attorney. And she sees God's word, his perspective from that position of attorney, from a lawyer. And anyway, so I was reading this in Psalms 112, and it said from her version, I don't know if we're going to have it up there, but it says, Jehovah's light upon my life guides me like the powerful intensity of a lighthouse. And then I came to prayer. That was that morning I read this. And I came to prayer, and I looked at Pastor Matt, and I go, I've got to go back and get the lighthouse. I've got to go buy it. Because I knew the Lord was really speaking to us, you know, about this lighthouse. But it says, like the brilliance of a perfect diamond, his love is the radiance within me. And then I started to look up radiance. And it says reflection, transmitted, received by a given surface. And it began to speak to me, and I thought, we're the receivers of this thing. We're the receivers of this light. You know, that you kept singing light. And I thought, look, Lord, they just came right into what I was talking about. And, but when he began to give me this, you know, sometimes if you haven't been in a really dark place and you don't understand the significance of what Jesus can do in that place. And, so anyway, on the way back from, Georgia, everything went well with his family. But I was hit with something from my son again, you know, the one that's in Florida. And it just overwhelmed me, you know, that, you know, believing for his deliverance, believing for his healing, and he's healed. You know, believing that he's going to be set free. You know, but the enemy knows exactly where to hit us. He knows exactly where to hit us that will trigger us. You know, so on the way back, you know, this information came back that he had been, you know, locked up again. And I was like, Lord, how long do I wait? You know, and it triggered me and it hit me so hard that I went into this spiral of just total darkness on the way home, you know. And you think, how can that happen to a Christian? How can that happen to someone like us, everybody here that reads the word, that sings the songs, that worships, you know. But the enemy, like I said, he knows exactly where to hit us. Where, you know, it's a place in us that's still wounded. It's a place in us that still needs to be healed. So in the midst of that place, I was crying out to God, and I said, when, Lord, you know, when does this happen? When do you deliver him? Because I had a prayer over my children where I was standing in the kitchen one day, and I said, Lord, I've served you, and I've given up everything for you, and I understand your powerfulness and your gratefulness and your mightiness, and but my children, Lord, my children. And I think this is appropriate because it's Mother's Day. And I feel the heart of the women, you know, crying out for the children. It's like you would forsake everything else, everything you owned, everything you had, just to know that your children were safe, that your children would serve Him. And that's the way I felt that day. I thought, Lord, I'd give up anything if You would just save my children. And I know that's how mothers feel. You know, even today, there's mothers crying out on their knees at night, Lord, please save my children. You know, and the word that He gave me about my kids, you know, was that I said, Lord, please deliver them, please deliver them. And He said, they will deliver many. And I just went to my knees, you know, because not only would they be saved, but they would be used in the kingdom. And I just hung on to that word all these years, you know, and I've seen it. I've seen it coming forth in my kids. But as a mother, you know, we need to have this, what I'm talking about today, this intensity. Jehovah's light upon our lives guides us like a powerful intensity of a lighthouse. Okay? Like a diamond, you know, it needs to be so bright within us. It says, okay, under brightening my heart and cleansing my mind. You know, this is His word. His presence is going to brighten our hearts and cleanse our minds. And when we're in that dark place, we're going through those storms, or we're going through those challenges, you know, we need God to guide us. We need God to lead us. And sometimes it's a matter of surrendering, and sometimes it's a matter of crying it out. I mean, literally crying it out, because I believe there's such healing in tears. We used to talk about in Florida the ministry of tears. And, you know, because it was a lot of intercessors that would come and pray for our church. And, you know, and there was a lot of crying that happened in those moments. And I thought, well, you know, why do we cry so much, you know? But He said that, you know, in that brokenness, like you were talking about in that song, in that pain, He comes, you know. I used to believe that, you know, I was raised in a sense with my father that if you did something wrong, you know, the Lord would back away. And I understand now, He just didn't have the revelation of how God draws near to that place. You know, that when we're broken and we're in pain and we're angry and we're mad about the things that's happened on the earth, that's when He comes to us. That's when He wants to help us. That's when He wants to grab us and get a hold of us. You know, because you think about it as a mother, when our kids even do something wrong, we don't dismiss our love for our children. We draw near and we say, okay, this is, you know, I love you, but this is not really good, you know. Or maybe don't do that again, or, you know. We don't push them away, you know. That's not how the mother's heart is. Because just like Elizabeth, you know, you pay a price. Y'all know. Y'all pay a price to have those babies. You know, there might be some scars that paid a price to have that baby. And so it becomes so much a part of you that it doesn't matter where they are on the earth, you still feel that pull. You still feel that pull with them, you know. And that's what the enemy was doing to me the other day. He was using my mother's heart to wound me. He was using my love for my son to wound me. But this is what the Lord did. He brought this. He brought the light to me in that moment. Because if you come to Him and He said, I draw near to those with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I draw near to those. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why do we have to be so broken? Why do we just feel like sometimes like our insides are just coming out in travail and prayer, you know? And He said, how else can I pour into you if you're not open? You know, sometimes our pride or our, you know, self-sufficiency or I can handle this, you know. God's not going to minister to those places because it's all about us, you know. But if we're broken and we feel like I can't do anything and I have no control over this and what am I supposed to do, you know, and the Lord would say, just be still. Just be still and know that I'm God, you know. And, I mean, some of the things that I see, you know, that I've seen my son do has really terrified me. I thought, I can't live like that. I don't know how he lives like that. But you realize the depravity of people when they don't know the Lord, when they literally don't know His goodness. And, you know, as we were praying this morning, even for the orphans in the city, I have such a heart for orphans because of my son having the mentality of an orphan. He's not an orphan, okay? He was wanted. He was, I mean, it took us 2.5 years to have him. I'm talking about my older son. You know, he was the first grandchild. I mean, he was wanted, loved, needed, all of that. But somehow through the trails of life, he feels like an orphan. And I think I keep thinking, Lord, he's not an orphan. He's a child. He's my child. He's not an orphan. But see, a lot of the people, even in the city, they act like orphans. When something happens, they act like there's no help. When something, you know, breaks down or they get sick, they act like they have no one. You know, and from a mother's heart, I just cry out. That's why I have so many children, you know, spiritual babies. Even was with one yesterday that's getting ready to have a baby. And I've known her since she was 4, you know, and I'm still her mama. One of her mamas, she's got a lot. But in this place, put this back on. I'm trying to get used to my new glasses. Okay, let me read this again. Jehovah's light upon my life guides me like the powerful intensity of a lighthouse. Okay? Like the brilliance of a perfect diamond. His love is the radiance within me. And this is funny because I met a lady in Florida one time, and she was so sweet, and she was so nice. And we had just got to Florida at this new church. And I remember thinking, man, this lady must be fake. She must be so fake. You know, you could just see the sweetness eking out of her. And I was like, nobody's that nice, you know? You know, nobody's that nice. What's wrong with her? It has to be wrong. You know, it has to be fake, you know? But it turned out that she had so much of Jesus in her that it was her. It was literally her. I was around her for 5 years, and she never moved from that place. I don't care what circumstance we were in. I don't care what we went through. Matter of fact, she was holding my hand when I had Mr. Benjamin. She was holding my hand. The lady stuck with me, and she changed my life. The light in her, the love in her changed my life, okay? But she had to experience what I'm talking about today, this overwhelming intensity of His light, okay? His light is what changes us. And as Eva was singing that light and we were declaring Jesus over our lives and over our city, we were asking Jesus to send His light to our lives, to our families, you know, because people don't even realize they're in darkness. They don't even know they're in darkness. But when you come around and you talk to them, guess what happens? Okay, the light in us begins to penetrate and it reveals the darkness in them. And sometimes they get angry about it. Sometimes they'll be like, get away from me. Or they might start calling me names, you know. Because I used to say, Lord, why do people hate me? Why do they come at me the way they do? And he would say, it's not about you. It's about the light in you that bothers them. It's about who you stand for, you know. Because you know and I know that if you're in any kind of position through the years of leadership in a church, you know, or you're a pastor or whatever, then there's a lot of expectations of your perfectness. We're supposed to be perfect, right? We're supposed to just, right, Keith? We're supposed to, And so when we don't do things necessarily great, you know, the people have such a judgment toward us. You know, but when you walk in the light, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. We're all being refined. We're all being changed. But it does mean that our desire toward Him is being perfected. Because you go toward Him because you experience His light. You experience His love. And you can't resist that love. And I know I'm talking to the choir today because most of you in here already know what I'm talking about. But I feel like this is significant today because of Mother's Day. You know, that people need to know that sometimes they're in darkness and they don't know it. They could be sitting in a church their entire life and not realize the things that they're listening to during the week, the music they listen to during the week, the movies they watch during the week. Maybe they're hearing their parents' words in their ears that, you know, that weren't good. This resounding tape that just keeps playing, right? So, what does God do? He roots out this darkness in us. Okay, we're going. The brightening of our heart and the clearing of our mind is what he's bringing. The light of God's fire burns up the darkness around me. And I was in the car, we were traveling back, and I just went into this travail place of Lord, when? But the funny thing about it was it hit right when I come across the line to North Carolina. Okay? And I asked the Lord, I said, okay, why did it hit when I crossed the state line? And he said it was because this area in North Carolina that we're standing in has such an orphan mentality that there's, you know what I mean, that these kids are walking in darkness. They're walking in darkness. So I was not only travailing for my son, I was travailing for this area. Mm. And it hit me so hard. I mean, you can ask my husband, I was just weeping, you know, driving and weeping. Okay, but the light of God's fire burns up the darkness around me. The light of God's instructions clarifies and purifies my soul. The light of God's instruction. So we're asking for clarity. We're asking for revelation. We're asking how to do this better. Okay, and the light of God's opulence and riches brings me joy like lights on a Christmas tree. I just love this, because I love Christmas time. I do. I love to go around and see all the Christmas lights, and Ben was even in a job where he was hanging Christmas lights all over. And you know how it is? You can have just a really dreary, ugly house, and all of a sudden you got lights all over it, and it just illuminates, right? It just brings the excitement and the joy. And that's what he's talking about with his joy, with his light. It brings joy into our life. You can be around another Christian like me and T. We can be, you know, with our families having lunch or something. And what happens is the joy capacity within us increases because of the Jesus in them. Okay, that's why it's so important that we meet. You know, because we all go through struggles and we all go through stuff. And sometimes we're really down and I can be around Esther for a couple minutes, you know, and she's just glowing and smiling and it brings you up and out of that. You know, we need each other so much because not only is God trying to give us the intensity of this light, but he's saying you are the light. Like you said this morning, you said, arise and shine. For my glory will cover the earth. Gross darkness will cover the earth, but my glory will cover my people. The first time I ever spoke on glory, God's glory, was 2 days before 9/11 happened. And I understood the fullness of what he was saying. He was saying gross darkness is going to cover the earth. There's going to be a lot of dark things happen on the earth. And people are going to experience fear and tragedy, all kinds of different things. But he's saying, but I've equipped you with my light. I've equipped you with my glory, and you're going to go and help these people that are going through all this stuff. You're going to bring the light. You're going to let them know that there's a better way. You're going to let them know that there's hope. Because you think about it, if you walk into a dark room, and I don't care if you just have a match, you just have one match, and you light that match, if the whole room shifts, okay? So he's the light. He comes to us in this intensity. And the only way I could do it was with a lighthouse, you know, being on the edge of the island like Nantucket, or the light that happened in the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Think about this. This is where I went in my mind. I thought the intensity of this light made a picture. It made a picture of the Lord.
Yes.
In the resurrection. That light came through him so profoundly that it made a picture on that cloth. And they have it forever.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's the kind of light he's talking about for us. That's the kind of light he wants us to have. But in order for us to have that kind of light, you know, we have to do this surrendering part. We have to say, Lord, I don't want to live in this darkness. I don't want to walk the earth depressed. I don't want to walk the earth not being able to help others, you know. And some of the people that I minister to in the counseling that I've done, you know, I've noticed that they're so much focused on themselves that they have no joy. They have no hope because the focus is all in here. It's introspection. And some of that's good because the Lord uses it to clarify our mind, to help us, to cleanse us, to purify us. But if you don't have a purpose out there, doing something out there for somebody else, your life is going to be dull, you know, because he made us to be givers. He made us to be lovers. He made us to be generous. He made us to, I mean, I love to surprise people. I loved it. You know, even yesterday I was trying to get these flowers to my mom, and I kept calling the florist, and I was like, did she get the flowers? And they were so busy, you know, they couldn't even tell me. And finally we found out that they were on the front porch, and Mama usually goes in the back door, so she didn't see the flowers. But I love being that to other people. I love finding out something that they adore, something that they love, and being able to give it. You know, one time we went and did a flower bed for this young mother. She had just got a new house, and we dug it out, and we brought all these flowers, and we made her the real pretty flower bed on the front of her house. You know, was it something simple? Yeah. But you should have seen the reaction, you know, for her. We brought light to her because she was a new mom like Elizabeth. And when you're a new mom, you're so busy changing diapers and feeding them, you know. You wonder if you get a chance to take a shower, you know. But in that moment, you know, you could bring food like we've been doing. You could just do something simple. That's being the light. That's being the light to other people. And sometimes you don't know how critical it is. Sometimes we don't understand how important it is. For example, we were in Bob Evans one day, and we were just having lunch. And, you know, we need to be aware that God is sending us everywhere we go. I don't care if it's Walmart, gas station, I don't care where it is, we're being sent. Okay? And we were in Bob Evans, and this girl came up, and she had this tattoo on her arm, and she was waiting on us. And I was like, hey, baby. You know, because everybody's my kid. That's just the way I treat them. But anyway, I was talking to her, and she kept coming back and bringing us stuff and bringing us stuff. And I said, Lord, you know, Lord, what does she need, Lord? And she came back over there, and I grabbed her arm, and I said, wow, that tattoo is really awesome. You know, and I said, when did you get that? And she just broke down and began to weep.